Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Well, I actually brought the last of our leftover turkey for lunch yesterday.
Well, very. So
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
You're out of supplies. Well, I need to thank you for playing the encore presentation for me and filling in there. I know we had some technical difficulties last week, so I appreciate covering that. And Jason Klavansky with the Christmas decor, he appreciated it. He said he got two or three other calls from the encore presentation.
Excellent.
So thanks to the listeners for calling him and supporting our service providers and Sparkling Clean Windows. We appreciate having them on. And so, yes, he definitely wanted to pass on his thanks to me and the listeners for their calls and orders. Mm-hmm. So that worked out fabulous. It is, it's great to be back on the air. I have all this stuff in my head. I got to try to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that and good to be back. And it's still... There is kind of a big push in real estate, you know, from now until the Christmas holidays start. So there was definitely a lot of folks that were, you know, off that week for Thanksgiving. And then they said that what that also did is we've noticed our web traffic actually increases because everybody's at home. They have a couple extra days off. So there was a ton of inquiries and follow up and clients we've been working through. This week and on to the next couple weeks until Christmas. So still, the weather's been very well, good for this time of year, so decent, and a lot of people out there looking for homes. So we're very, very busy right now, and we're excited about that and still a lot of business to do. I know we always like to start with our crazy residential property. This one hits a little bit closer to home. This is not a series I watch, but I know a lot of people do. And Top Chef was recently filmed in Seattle, all of a penthouse property. So what it was is they provided a place where they could secretly stow away 18 contestants and judges and do filming. And there is a condominium project in Seattle called Olivet. And it provided an ideal place to do this. So I thought it was interesting just to note, this is located just north of downtown Pacific Place Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tallest residence tower in Seattle. There's 229 condo units. The homes range in price, listen to this, a one-bedroom open floor plan at $460,000 is what the starting price is there, to million-dollar-plus three-bedroom penthouses. Very similar to like the judges were in. So when you watch that, if that's a series you watch the Top Chef and some of the interviews they do with contestants and stuff, a lot of it was done in Seattle's own Olivet penthouse condominiums.
Wow.
So very, very, very interesting to get kind of our local celebrity story close to home. One of the things that we start to see this time of year, and that's what I wanted to put together, is it's always a lot more fun when someone else makes mistakes and you can learn from that instead of making the mistake yourself. So I thought I would put together a list because we have a lot of folks looking ahead what to do with their money for next year, where to put those, maybe considering rentals or investment property as an investment. So one of the things I did is I put together a list and I called it Owning and Operating Investment Property and Rentals. What can the hidden cost be?
Ooh.
You know, because it's really glorified a lot. We see a lot of these TV shows, you know, on, you know, HGTV and the Home and Garden TV and, you know, and buy properties and have rentals. And that is a very idealistic approach. A lot of times people look at it right now because the return on the money can be so much more than, say, just, you know, a very low CD or savings account. But not to just be lured by those high returns on the investment, I wanted to go over what can some of the hidden costs be and what can you do about it. Most of the items on this list, because we do buy property and rent property and flip property, It just happens when you do it as long as we do. So most of these items on the list, it was a little bit painful for me to put this list together because I probably made that mistake. So I'm hoping we can help some people better have some consideration about what they might do and how you can fix it.
Well, a lot of those TV shows, they don't show you the hidden stuff because they don't want to discourage you. I mean, even Bob Vila on This Old House, I always noticed that all the lumber was always cut before he started building. I'm like, okay.
That's right. They're definitely condensing a lot of work into a 30-minute or an hour show, a lot of stuff you don't see.
Try 30 days.
Yeah, exactly. So the number one thing and tip that I put down is that you have to look out for and do is when you're considering a property and you've gone ahead and taken that step and put the offer in on the property, now you've had that home inspection. And I wrote down being realistic about the home inspection. It's not just something to toss to the side and not consider, but really going in there and evaluating what some of the long-term things that you might need to do. A lot of home inspectors in our area, some great ones that we've had on the show, will put down, you need to budget for a new roof possibly in the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. So they give you an outlook of saying, okay, if I need a new roof in 7 years, roughly what's that cost going to be? And then start funneling off into a savings account so much per month to budget for that new roof. Make sure that you are budgeting for those big replacement items if they come up. New roof would be one of those. And the other thing that I wrote down was heating and air. The AC systems and the heat pumps, those are big ticket items that if they go out, trust me, you're going to get a call from the tenants that day, if not the next morning, because heating and air is a huge one. So you want to make sure those are in the best possible shape. And I also wrote down, if not, try to get as much done up front as you can before taking over the property. See what type of concessions we can get. See what type of consideration you can get. You might not be able to get anything because you might be getting a fantastic price on the property. But you also might find some hidden things that you did not know about that need to be addressed in your budgeting, especially for a rental or an investment type property.
Exactly.
Number two item that I wrote down that a lot of times gets glossed over or not thought about up front, and that is a vacancy factor. Now, let's say look at a budget for a certain amount of cash flow in a property. Say after everything's been paid, you're looking at potentially cash flowing or having an excess of $200 per month after you've paid your mortgage and paid your expenses. Well, if you're renting a property, say, for $1,000 per month, but it ends up being vacant for 1 month in a transition or a changeover, that 1 month of vacancy has already eaten up 5 months of your cash flow. And so that's something that that's calculation sometimes people don't do. And a month can happen very quickly. A tenant gives you notice, and then they move out. You get applications. That doesn't immediately mean you're going to find your next great tenant. By the time you get applications, consider applications, maybe clean some carpets, make some repairs, do some repainting while it's vacant, and then get the new tenant in. I think a one-month factor could be very realistic if there's turnover, and that can happen real quickly without people knowing it.
Exactly.
So I wrote down, use a factor in your calculations at a minimum of, say, an 85% to 90% occupancy rate, or as a vacancy factor, say, use 10%. So take your gross income that you're going to be making from the property, if it's $1,000 a month, $12,000, multiply that by, 10% vacancy of that 12,000, then you would have 1,200 of that that you cannot count on because it could be a vacancy factor. I've had property that's had 80% occupancy, and then I've had property that's had 100% occupancy for 7 or 8 years. So it's really hard to know, but somewhere in between those, what you're comfortable with, you should factor that into your calculations. It can end up being a huge, huge factor. The third thing that I wrote down is time. You're laughing over there, McKay. I can tell. You've thought about this before. But smart investors look at how much time they're willing to spend to make a venture worthwhile. So one thing that you need to think about that sometimes doesn't come up, I wrote down a few key points. Education on landlord-tenant issues.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be in this business, you need to know what laws you're going to be facing. You need to be educated about that process and stay up on those trends. I'll never forget probably, and people might, I'm not sure if there's somebody out there that does this for a living and they love it, I'll apologize in advance. But one time I had to take an 8-hour certification class on lead-based paint abatement and how to properly do that so that I would be in compliance with my rentals that had that. John, I have to tell you, it was mind-numbing. I almost went crazy learning about the ins and outs of the scientific of lead-based paint abatement. Now, I must say, I'm a much better real estate agent because I'm certified at that,
mm-hmm.
so that I don't want to do it, and please don't call me to do it.
Yeah.
So I have the certification card, but I can identify an issue and make better recommendations because of it.
Yeah.
But for instance, that's a 10, 12-hour day with coming and going and travel time that you need to factor that in as part of what you're going to have to do to get the profits that you want. So add up your hours in education. How long will it take you to mow lawns? I also wrote down scheduled time every month to do visual checks of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And this can happen. The reason I wrote that point down is I made a huge mistake once. I had a rental property, and I had what I thought were the perfect tenants in it. They had paid on time for 2 years, not ever a day late.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit lazy with my monthly visual checks, and one summer I did not go by every month. By the time I did go by, and I got a call that, hey, you know, our sprinklers haven't been working in a while. This was like in September,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, how long is a while? And they said, well, not really since June. I went by and the lawn was completely destroyed. It ended up costing me about $3,000 to get it fixed. You know, but I had no indication of that. I would have if I had maintained my stringent schedule of, you know, your biweekly or monthly visual checks. So that's
yes.
time that you've got to factor in, how much that is going to cost you, and it also helps you identify problems early on, which can help you save a bunch of money in the long run.
Yes.
Those are the first three big items that I've written down. When we come back, we have two of the biggest ones I want to talk about. When we come back, we're going to talk about the dreaded repairs after vacancy and what you can do about that. We've got some great property for you, and we'll be right back.
On News Talk 870. Go ahead.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about owning and operating investment property, the hidden costs that you might not have been told about, and things that you can do to help mitigate those costs to make the venture more profitable for you and help you with the decision on individual properties if you're going in to enter into that world. Before I jump into, though, because I know there's so much on this topic we could talk about, I'm mm-hmm. certain we will run out of time. Before we do that, I wanted to fit in our pick three on our property. There's some amazing new inventory. Like I said, the weather's been great. We've been able to put on a lot of inventory,
mm-hmm.
continue to keep refilling that market for people out there looking. One of our newest and one of our greatest is 33904 South Finley Road. This is out in Finley. This is a stick-built home, Rambler basement home,
mm-hmm.
four-bedroom, two-bath, and it's on an acre out there. So we're talking 2,592 square feet. It's got the majority, the first floor is finished, partial finished in the basement, and then there's two or three rooms that you could make that whatever you wanted to. So beautifully done, Rambler basement, on an acre, fabulous, fabulous location. The possibilities are endless. Tons of room. You could have RV parking. You could add a shop. And this is a stick-built home out there coming in price at $160,000.
Wow.
So for that square footage and what you're going to get, it is a fabulous property in great shape. There's been quite a few updates that have been done. There's been new vinyl windows, newer carpet, new roof, newer heat pump. So all of the big stuff has been done. You can finish off some of those rooms in the basement how you want, and you have a fabulous, fabulous property at a great price. Pick number two that I got is a new listing that we have in West Pasco. Fabulous, fabulous home. 5411 Oriole Lane. This is an 1880, almost 1900 square feet, three bedroom, two and a half bath home, two story home with a two car garage, built in 2002. And this thing is priced at $170,000.
Wow.
It's got the family room with the fireplace, open to the kitchen. You've got access to the patio, an extra work shed built onto the side of the house. Fabulous property in West Pasco to get in there with these interest rates right now, which are continuing to stay shockingly low, priced at $170,000. Now, our lowest price, most entry-level home on the pick three today that is so clean, I thought it was brand new construction basically when I was there. This is 840 Madrona in Pasco. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler, almost 1,400 square feet, built in 2007. And like I say, they just take impeccable care of the property. Totally fenced yard, beautifully well-maintained. And we are talking $135,000.
Wow.
840 Madrona, $135,000. With the interest rates where they're at, the programs that are available, you cannot rent for that type of square footage for that price.
No.
So fabulous, fabulous properties out there for sale. We would love to show any one of them to you. My cell phone again, 727-8978 or Kenmore 8977 or kenmoreteam.com.
Wow.
I think 8978 is actually my father's number, so I don't think he'll appreciate getting the real estate call. So let's stick with 8977. Yeah, and John, you shouldn't have given me some of that turkey during the break.
Tryptophan.
Exactly. Okay, we are back to our factors, our hidden cost factors to consider with your properties, for your potential investment properties. And I wrote down number four is the cost of having your money in the property versus what else you could do with it.
Hmm.
A lot of people call this maybe the opportunity cost of your money.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm talking about is if you take your money out of, say, for instance, an investment that's making 3%, and then you move it to an investment that's making 7%, but you're adding time and hours that you didn't have before, how much of the gain is really that net 4%? So you really got to look at that. And then I wrote down a side note under this category that I said, make sure that you are speaking with your banker, especially about future projects or ideas you might want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because buying an investment property, going into that type of situation, there might be future projects or stuff you are planning on doing that now you've changed the outlook of your financial position and you might not be able to do the other project you had considered.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what happens, we come across, oh man, there's this fabulous deal. I need to pick this up now. Kind of on a whim, you might not consider these factors. You might forget to call your friendly banker that's been helping you on the other project. And by buying it, you jeopardize the original plans you might have. Bankers are very good at sitting down with you and saying, to continue with this project, you're going to need your financial situation to look like A, B, C, D. Here's what we're going to need from you to make this a viable project. Make sure what you're doing with your current projects are not affecting your future plans. It can really make a big difference.
Yes.
Number five, I wrote down one of the biggest hidden costs can be repairs after vacancy. You don't want to get stuck with the vacancy. Then you're repainting, you're doing those repairs. It's bad enough you're not getting the income for that month, but then you have the repair costs on top of it. it's pretty easy to burn through $1,000 of carpet and paint and wall repair pretty quickly, and then it's taking you months to recover those costs. One of the best ways to prevent that on both, this is, listen up for both landlords and tenants. Mm-hmm. One of the best ways to prevent that is your move-in, move-out condition sheets. Those are a critical process, a critical part of the lease. Making sure that as a tenant, you've gone through, if there's problems or repairs needed on your move-in list, you're notating that damage when you move in so that you're not charged for that when you move out. It's also it's so important to collect that as a landlord because mm-hmm. that's giving you a signed record of what they had before.
Yeah.
Another thing we wrote down that we do a lot of times on our properties and with our listings is pictures. It's so easy now with our phones and our technology and our storing capabilities. You know, it's so easy with storage capacity now that having good videos or pictures of the condition can solve so many issues later on. I don't know how many times we've used pictures to say, well, here is the dated timestamp picture. Here's what it was then. It was obviously like that when you moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's this huge stain in the carpet. I'm sorry, but that wasn't there, and here's the picture showing that.
Yes.
So that physical evidence of the video or the picture is very helpful. And then I also wrote down your lease needs to be very clear about what the security deposit and the cleaning deposit can and will be used for. We don't like a lot of gray area there. It needs to be notated very specifically mm-hmm. what that's going to go for. A lot of problems are caused by people when they get their security deposit back and note that a cleaning fee was deducted from that. You know,
yeah.
And so that can cause people that haven't been in that situation before a lot of angst. If it's clearly defined in the lease and both parties are signing that, it helps solve those problems later down the road. So that's a big one. I also wrote down as a side note under this category, make sure your deposits are adequate to cover the true modern costs of, say, carpet cleaning, general cleaning, repair. Know in advance with your service providers how much they're going to be charging you for these services. For you as a landlord, it helps give you a discount if you're providing on a contract basis using the same folks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they'll give you a discount, and it also allows you to plan for your cash flow planning. That way you know exactly what's going to happen during these times, and you can write that down and have that marked down. Huge, huge advantages to having all of those points very clearly defined in the lease. Okay, the last category that I wrote down and kind of one of the hidden costs that people don't consider sometimes but need to is business licenses and professional fees. Is there's a lot of times where there's other service providers, people that you're going to come across that you might not have considered. Many times people are encouraged to put these properties into corporations, to put them in LLCs, for liability reasons, for tax purposes. A CPA might suggest that, you know, an attorney might suggest that based upon their advice. They can give that advice.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon that advice, that happens sometimes. Well, that ends up, those are additional fees associated with running a property or a business. You might have your registration fees for your new company. You might have your renewal fees. You might then have your specific business licenses within the cities to worry about. So, and then you might need, because now you have a different corporation, or if you have a partner, you might have different requirements for your tax preparation is going to be more complicated than causing a higher tax preparation bill. So just a little bit of planning for what's going to happen in those situations, setting aside a budgeted amount for your what I call your professional fees makes a huge, huge difference and then allows you to be prepared for that. There's nothing worse than saying, oh my gosh, it costs another $500 to do my taxes and having not had that budgeted for this specific entity.
Mm-hmm.
So those are what I wrote down, the very manageable things, things you can do ahead of time to mitigate some of these costs, services you can use to keep these at a minimum. But many times those were the big costs that I wrote down in advance, some of the hidden costs that people don't see. We always like people to be very well informed as they enter into these new ventures. They can be very profitable, very rewarding. We love selling property to our investors, but we also like people to have a great idea of what they're headed into.
Yes.
So those are kind of our seven. I guess we ended up with seven. I thought it was six, but I added a couple along the way. So those are kind of our seven tips there for helping you know what you might be facing with investment property. Once again, we just like to thank all of our listeners. It's great to be back on the air. It's still a very, very busy time in the market. We're already starting to take a ton of calls about properties that are going to be hitting the market the first of the year. So we're doing lots of evaluations right now for folks that are planning on listing just after the holidays. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of my favorite times of the year to go on those appointments because I get to see how everybody's decorating their houses for the holidays.
Griswold.
So we're having a blast doing it. Anybody we can help with those evaluations, we're glad to help and get you on our list of evaluations prior to the holidays. Visit us at kenmoreteam.com, send us a contact request, and we'll be seeing you guys soon. And for sure, we'll be back here next week
on News Talk 870.